Thanks for tuning in again to the GearYourGirl.com podcast. I've got a very special guest today. This is Matt Schifferle. He was recently promoted to PCC team leader, which is very cool. I'm a senior PCC instructor, and I was a PCC team leader for a couple of years. And I'm super excited to see that Matt join our team in that leadership role. I think he's super worthy and definitely has earned it. You may know him from his website and extensive YouTube channel and podcast for his Red Delta project. So anyway, Matt, welcome to the podcast. Glad you could be here. And, you know, I guess if you could let us know, how did you get into body weight training and what inspired the Red Delta project?
Sure, sure. Well, it's great to have you to be on the show here. Thank you very much for inviting me. My fitness history has always kind of been a little bit on the lone wolf side of things.
Cool.
I grew up in Vermont and never was much for like team sports. So I was kind of always doing things like, biking and hiking and skiing and such. And I got into weight training fairly late in the game because where I grew up in the neck of the woods in Vermont, like there really wasn't anything as far as gyms go.
Right.
And, just the way my lifestyle was, I knew that, well, I can't like always work out at a gym because I just don't have access to one all the time. So I never really got into weight training until after college.
Okay.
And, I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. It was kind of one of those moments where it was like, oh, hey, this is really how you get stronger and stuff. I was riding bikes and everything for years thinking, well, that's going to get me really strong. It kind of did, but right. Got into weightlifting, and I got really deep into the classic bodybuilding style of lifting, you know, lots of preacher curls, lots of lat pull-down kind of stuff for a while,
mm-hmm.
And it worked very well, but the challenge was after about 10, 15 years of that, I was getting very burned out. I had a lot of aches and pains throughout my whole body,
mm-hmm.
And really, in all honesty, considered just dumping the whole thing and just being like, I'm done with it. Maybe because around that time I was turning 30, I was like, maybe I'm just past that phase of my life. almost just said, no, I'm just done with everything. But around that time I got involved with the convict conditioning.
Okay.
I got it for my birthday, and I was like, well, okay, I'll give this a try. Maybe at best I'll stay relatively strong, and maybe it'll just help heal up like my myriad of aches and pains that I was waking up with every morning. And by the end of that month of trying out just the convict conditioning program, like everything was through the roof, way better than it ever had been with weightlifting. I had more muscle, I had more strength, I had more speed. Every measurable aspect I could think of as far as fitness and strength was improving faster than it had in years.
Wow.
And my injuries were starting to get better. So that's when I basically jumped in with both feet down the rabbit hole and thought to myself, okay, there's something to this for sure. it was kind of funny because at first I was like, well, I'll play with it for a couple of months, master it, and then move on. And yeah, needless to say, that did not happen. It's been about 6-7 years now, and I'm still like, okay, what am I doing? How am I figuring this out?
Right.
Still a lot of questions. So that's how the bodyweight thing came about. That was the initial bit. Yeah.
You know what? And now I'm remembering, because we talked about this a little bit more. So I remember you telling me about Vermont and riding bikes and hiking and everything when we did your interview for Dragon Door. So I'll be sure to attach the link to your interview there. I want to just, you know, to have people get to know you a little bit here. But yeah, like convict conditioning came out in, was it 2009? And I remember I bought it shortly before the RKC. Oh, here's a fun trivia fact. I actually purchased this from Nicole Duquesne herself at an NCSA conference. She was manning the table or womaning the table.
Yeah.
Ruling the table at their booth. And I bought it from her then, and I used it so much that I went and had it spiral bound because it was falling apart. And they're bound really well, so that gives you an idea what was going on. But
not surprised.
Yeah.
done the same thing myself. Not spiral bound, but I've dog-eared the hell out of my copy.
You should get it spiral bound, because now, like, you can lay it flat on the floor. It's really handy.
Very handy. Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that.
Cool. So a little bit, just kind of bring everybody else up to speed. I've been kind of looking for, you know, people to get on the podcast that, you know, have a lot of knowledge that, you know, kind of have their own thing going. Like, how many podcasts do you have out there? How many episodes?
Oh, that's a good question. I typically have about 10 to 15 up on the iTunes and the Stitcher websites at a time.
Okay.
The system that I'm using right now doesn't allow me to have much more than that, so I kind of have to rotate through them. Uh-huh. So I only have about a few months worth at a time. But if you go to the website, reddeltaproject.com, they're all there. And I think last I checked, I've got something like 7 days worth of audio.
Whoa.
Of podcasts. It's each one is about 20, 25 minutes long or so.
Okay.
But they've added up quite a bit. I need to like bundle them all together or something, but they're, I don't know how many, but it's a while. It'll take you a while to get through them all.
That's a lot of talking. Goodness. Now, you know, what inspired you to start a podcast?
Largely because it's easy.
It is.
I got kind of onto this internet aspect of personal training and coaching. You know, after I went to a couple of conferences where these guys were walking around with like flip cameras, you know, and microphones and such. And I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, well, you can put stuff online. And I thought that was really kind of neat, because if I like train someone in a gym, then I've spent an hour and I've helped one person.
Right.
But if I put up a YouTube video or a podcast in like 15, 20 minutes, I can help loads of people in that 20 minutes. So I started doing a bunch of different things, and I'm not the world's best writer. So I found it much easier to do things on video and on podcasts, because I can just sit and dictate and talk, and it all gets out there real quick and easy. Usually a single blog post, I can write it in like 4 days. I'm constantly editing it, going through it. But the podcast is really easy to just talk, say, post on the site, and all of a sudden it's worldwide. So that's a big reason why, really. It's just ease of use.
That's cool. That makes a ton of sense. Well, just before this podcast, I decided I needed to get outside before the sun went down. And I took my phone. I just started using a program called Wirecast, which you might want to get into. And you can do a live broadcast with it. It's HD. It's so much fun. So I put that on while I did, a friend of mine invented this thing called a Tri-Deck. And it's like kind of an all-terrain skateboard with three wheels. And I use it with a land paddle. So it's really fun. It's very unusual. But if you like stand-up paddle boarding, this is like all-terrain, on-the-road version of it. And so I put up, there's like 11 minutes of me doing that and talking about it. And so it's like, I did that, you know, I put up my little tripod. I, you know, tri-decked around a little bit and came back. And I was like, okay, I got my outdoor time. I taught some people about my friend's cool invention. And then, here we are. It was pretty fun and effortless.
Really cool.
One of these... One of these days, I'm going to ship one up when we do something in New York, and people are just going to flip out over that thing.
So it makes so much sense. If you think paddleboarding, okay, that's great. That's wonderful. But like, I'm here in Colorado. I'm a landlocked state. Like, there's not a whole water around here, but something like that would be outstanding. That's really cool.
It's really fun going downhill, but in Colorado, you might
want to... Are there brakes on it?
Yes, there's a foot brake. Like you you swivel your heel and you can mash down on it. So it has like, it looks like the, it's a caliper style brake like you'd have on a bicycle, and it's on the back wheel. It's pretty cool. Now, I don't know, you might want like an extra special brake for Colorado, because, you know, it's pretty serious out there.
We don't have a whole lot of flat where I am. It's everything's either going up or going down. I don't live in the prairie half of Colorado, and yeah. which makes it fun. The Rockies are literally in my backyard, which is a good place to condition and stuff. But yeah, I wouldn't be too good going downhill on something without a break.
Even then, it could go from like, oh, this is so fun, to, oh my God, I'm going to die today.
I'm gonna die now.
Even with a helmet on, like, I, you know, there's just that moment where you're like, I am no longer in control.
Mm-hmm. You flip out your cell phone and it's like, 911, what's your emergency? It's like, oh, no, not yet, but soon. Yeah, I just wanted to give you a heads up.
30 seconds. I'll be unconscious. Just let you know. Yeah. So anyway, we talked about getting questions together that, both mm-hmm. of us had heard from people. I had a couple and I'm sure you do. But I was very interested in hearing you kind of described yourself as a lone wolf. And I know there's a lot of those out there with fitness, especially with the Convict conditioning program, which is so appropriate for it. But I guess do you have any advice for people who, are the lone wolf exercise persuasion about getting mm-hmm. started?
Sure. Oh, that's a great question. Especially these days, because a lot of the advice in our fitness culture these days is, well, you got to join like these mm-hmm. groups and you got to get like workout partners and such, which is all very good advice.
Right.
From my background and stuff, I've always kind of thought of, well, this is a journey of one.
Mm-hmm.
And even though like I've had friends come and go in my life who are following me, like, when I was a bike racer, I had a lot of bike racing buddies and stuff, but people are going to come and go from your life.
Right.
Naturally. So fitness, if it's going to work for you, like you got to kind of learn to stand on your own and do things your own way.
Right.
And, I would say the first thing you want to do is get very clear on exactly what you want. Like mm-hmm. what is your most immediate goals, because there's a lot of information out there about, you got to be able to do this and you got to do this and you got to be strong and you got to have endurance and you got to do all these various things. And before too long, you kind of get overwhelmed and you feel like, okay, I've got to run a marathon, win a powerlifting championship, become a bodybuilder, excel in field sports. And I have to take a yoga certification. It's all this stuff.
Right.
And it's not bad by any means, but as they say, the man who tries to chase two rabbits often catches none.
Right.
So when you are getting serious about your personal fitness, you got to be like, okay, what do I care most about? And once you have that, then you can base all of your choices off of what's most important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to understand too that you're probably going to kind of slop off a couple of things that other people find are very, very important.
Right.
So like in my case, like I'm a body weight guy. I do a lot of body weight exercises and I've had people tell me before, it's like, well, you're never going to be strong unless you can bench press or you don't know how to do a power clean on barbells and all these sorts of things. And, it takes some self-confidence mm-hmm. and some self-esteem to say, okay, I know that's important to you, but personally, it's not my thing.
Right.
And other people, if you may run into friends and family, all good intentions, but they may kind of persuade you with this idea of, well, if you're not doing that, then you're wasting your time or you're never going to get strong or you're missing out big time. But if it's really not something that's important to you, that's fine. You do not have to include these things mm-hmm. if they're not important to you personally. And it takes a little strength to do that, but it's very important that you set your priorities and follow what you want as an individual.
Absolutely. And I would extend that to say that pretty much applies to life as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, what are the goals? And then, get rid of the extraneous stuff that's just a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard one of the worst examples of this, actually, and I hopefully encouraged this lady to stay the course with what she was doing. She was following, it was more of a primal, not paleo type of diet, and it was working for her. and she was doing great on it. She'd lost some fat. She was feeling good. And everything was wonderful until some goofy friend of hers at the gym was like, oh, no, 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 you have to do this and this and this and this. And she was confused. I said, hey, look, I'm going to clear this up for you really fast. She's like, okay. I was like, is what you're doing right now working for you? She says, oh, yeah, it's great. I love it. I'm like, okay. And she's like,
end of story.
There you go. I was like, you know what? Maybe your friend has good intentions. Maybe your friend doesn't. Either way, you keep doing what you're doing. Stay the course. And if you have a problem with, you know, staying on it, send me a text and I'll be there to cheer you on. You know, whatever that happens to
me. But no, you're absolutely right, because I see this especially when people are kind of doing the lone wolf thing, is they get pulled in so many different directions. Because I get questions like that, like, well, I was doing this and it was doing great, but then this person said I got to do this, and then this guy said this, and then my coach said this, and they get so confused. And again, it kind of goes back to what I was saying of, you've really got to trust yourself. You know, if you do something and you get a positive result out of it, follow it. If you do something that 100 people will tell you to do, but you're not getting much out of it, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. Like, trust your own results, trust your own experience, because it knows best.
Absolutely. And, you know, finding out what your body responds to. You know, diet's an easy example. You know, there's no one human diet, I don't think. You know, there's some things that work for some folks and some that work for others. And I think the same is true for exercise. And and then there's just the plain old, hey, you know, what is what you're going to do? What are you willing to have in your life on a daily, hopefully daily or every other day basis, you know?
Oh, yeah. You got to match up your actions with your personal preferences.
Right.
Like, I'm not a runner. I don't really run very well. I don't enjoy it that much, but I'll ride for hours.
Right.
And, you know, and that's me knowing that for me, I ride, I don't really run.
Right.
But for someone else, you may say, well, I don't ride, but I love to, you know, paddleboard or landboard on your new device there.
Right.
Great.
It is so funny, too, because I'm not a big runner either, but I do like to do sprints every now and then. And that's a lot of fun.
There you go.
I need to work on my flexibility, but I don't enjoy that. So I do what's necessary, what's practical. I'm not about to sign up for yoga class. I know a lot of people love it, and that's great. But, you know, I'd be like, oh, I feel like I'm here because I lost a bet or whatever, you know. So you got to do what you got to do.
Sure. Like I said, like, you got to really listen to that stuff. And I'm the exact same way with yoga. I've tried it many times over the years with many instructors, and a lot of people, they rightfully assume, they're like, well, if you're a bodyweight guy, you must love yoga. And like, no, not really at all. Yeah. It hasn't gotten me, you know, jazzed up and excited or even feeling good. I've left many yoga classes feeling like, well, I've flown to cross Atlantic flights and felt better than this, you know, for whatever reason, it's just not my thing. And, you know, like I said, you got to listen to it and follow your own experience.
Yeah, that's interesting. So yeah, I don't want to do the transatlantic flight class, whatever that is. I'd rather just, you know, go somewhere. Like, come here, get jet lag in 30 minutes. What?
The jet lag class.
Oh gosh. Yeah, no, thank you. Now, I hope you don't mind me asking. I think that you and I are about the same age, but you mentioned the whole turning 30 thing. So how old are you now?
Well, I'm 37 now. I'll be 38 in about 2 weeks.
Okay. I'm going to be 39 on Tuesday. So I knew we were close.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, I had a similar epiphany at around age 30 as well, because you have all those people in your life who are like, oh yeah, it all starts falling apart now. And
oh yeah,
it's not true.
I got a lot of that.
Yeah. It's like, I'm actually in much better shape now than I was at age 30. And you know,
oh yeah.
One of the things I loved about the PCC is that each time we have a workshop, there's always some, like, at least one or two, usually more, really cool older people, like, you know, past mm-hmm. the 70s, who, you know, they just kind of forgot to get old. And they, you know, and it's like, it's not so much that they're old, it's that they've just had that much longer to practice. Like Jack Arno, he's in his 70s, and I saw a video recently, he's got his one arm chin up back.
His articles on Dragon Door, it's like, wow, this guy is really killing it, and he's twice my age. Holy smokes. Yeah.
He's had twice as long to practice. I mean, that's how I see that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You know, I get that whole, well, youth is wasted on the young kind of thing. And I always counter it with, well, experience is wasted on the old. And I think these days, I think we're starting to really acknowledge the fact that you got to train smarter rather than just harder.
Yeah.
And the folks who are in their 40s and 50s have that experience. They have that smart way of training about things. And that's one of the reasons why I was getting very frustrated around 30 and had a couple of people saying, well, you know, you're 30 now, you're starting down the downward slide. I'm like, I'm not going to buy that for a minute, because in my Taekwondo and in my bike racing and my height, everything I did, there were people in their 60s and even their 70s who were wiping the floor with me.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's like, well, okay, I am getting older, but you got to be kidding me. Yeah. Like, 30 is the end of the road? No, I got such and so Master D over here. He's kicking my tail all over the floor and free sparring here, and he's 72.
Right.
Like, no, I'm not buying that for a minute.
Yeah, and I think it's important, like, training smarter, especially, you know, when people say the whole, it falls apart at 30, I think that's just the beginning of, okay, you know what? You've got to stop abusing your body, you know, and because, I mean, I think about some of the stuff that we ate in college, and I don't know how we don't have diabetes, because when I was in college in the late 90s, and Surge Soda came out in the late 90s, those of you who remember this terrible beverage, and I swear they were giving us free cans of it, like, every other day. It's a wonder I even have teeth. And I'm just like, how do we process all that? You know, if you did that to me today, I would probably just fall apart. I was like, I can't, no, but you know, who wants to drink sugary battery acid? You know, we know better. We're older now.
Yeah.
And the same applies to training. You know, I'm not going to just, you know, I don't know. I feel like we get to know ourselves better and kind of know what we need to work on and what to go all out on and what to kind of chill out on.
Oh, no. You're speaking so much wisdom there, Adrian, because, you know, when I was getting all those aches and pains and back in the 30s, I was of that school of thought of, you are your own worst enemy. Like, your body is something to fight against all the time.
Oh, wow.
So every workout was a battle and a fight to the death and just basically seeing how much stress I could withstand. And that attitude was what caused a lot of that. But with especially like the PCC and progressive calisthenics, I mean, that's a form of training that really is, well, no, you got to really figure out what you're doing here. Because you can't just load a lot of weight onto your back or run for miles until you collapse. Like, if you want to get something out of this, you really have to know what you're doing and keep learning about how to do things better.
Right.
And so suddenly I was like, well, that's a new take on things. You mean I can't just drive myself into the ground every workout? And that's not a good way to go about it. And that's a good approach with all modalities of training. But the thing I've always liked about bodyweight training is that's required to advance bodyweight training. You can't push it harder until you get smarter about what you're doing. Once you get smarter, then you can push harder. But you're doing it in a much more holistic and a safer way.
And you've got to earn it. You've got to put in the time. You know, and there's, you know, there's not always that in our world. You know, always have people that, you know, get jumped ahead and things, often unfairly. But you know what? body weight training, it doesn't lie. I mean, it's...
No.
And it's nice to have something like that in your life. It's like, oh, all right, well, there's this little bit of justice here.
Yeah. It's real. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And boy, when I first got into it, there was a lot of humble pie I was eating.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, I can squat so much weight and I can do this and I can do that. And you mean I can't do this way? This, like a single leg squat, I'm probably like one of the many guys who's like, well, single leg squat, this will be easy as hell. And no, that's been a very hard challenge all these years. And it's very humbling, but at the same time, it keeps you honest, like you were saying. There was a video a friend of mine sent me. It was pulled up one of my old YouTube videos. And it's one where I'm doing these push-ups and I have a sandbag on my back. And he said, boy, you come a long way from this one, haven't you? Was his comment. And I looked at him like, oh dear Lord, tell me I did not do push-ups like that. Like, wow, that, holy smokes. And I thought I was really strong back then. I was like, wow, I wish I could go back in time and say, Matt, you got a lot to learn, buddy.
Right.
And now I have that attitude. So as a result, I am learning.
Mm-hmm. It is so funny to think about, just earlier ideas that we've all had with training. Like my first exposure to the gym was very, the usual, the machines and this and that. And I was able to do a pull-up or two after a while, and that was seen as like this big, huge deal. And, it is, but, that's a funny thing, especially for women. It's like, okay, well, yeah, you can do a pull-up. Now I know you can do more. But, before I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing lat pull downs with 40 whole pounds. And okay, cool. Glad you're doing something,
Something, yep. It's always better than nothing. Mm-hmm. There's always value there.
Right. But it's like once you get to like pull ups and everything like that, it's so great because you don't have to go somewhere with all these goofy machines, I'll just grab onto the back of a stair and do pull-ups. I mean, you can it's so great to be able to do this stuff anywhere.
And it is.
It's like, oh, cool. I can work out outside. I don't have to go there where they're blaring the terrible pop music. And I can do whatever I want. And, oh, check it out. No monthly membership.
And that was kind of what attracted me to the whole thing is that freedom of being able to just train anytime, any place, anywhere. And for the longest time, my basic philosophy with the Red Delta Project has been that one of the biggest challenges with just staying in shape is that it's just there's a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah.
And obstacles to overcome just to get in a workout. And by removing these obstacles, you make it so much easier.
Right.
To stay in shape. It's kind of like what I said earlier about why I did podcasts and YouTube. It's like, well, it's easy compared to other modalities. And, I'm definitely part of that idea of you got to put in the work. There's no doubt about that. You got to put in work. You got to do the necessary work, but you want to make it as easy as possible to be able to do that work.
Yeah.
Because the easier you are, the more of it you're going to be able to do, the higher frequency you're going to be able to do, and the easier you're going to maintain it, which is all the baseline recipe for your success.
Right.
And I think that's one of the big reasons why bodyweight training works so darn well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, let the hard part be the hard part, not like, I remember back in the day, well, what was the hard part of your workout? Well, finding a parking spot at the gym after fighting traffic for 30 minutes there and back. That's not good. That shouldn't be the hard part. The hard part should be like, oh man, I did 13 pull-ups in a row. That needs to be the hard part.
That's the hard part, right?
So it's like, and with this, it's like, at some point I need to do a panorama of my apartment because it's hysterical. It's like its own little gem. There's a pull-up bar. There's, of course, kettlebells. There's a whole little area for, you know, doing neurogrip stuff. There's even a vertical pole. So my place, yeah, it looks a little bit like a frat house casino.
Yeah. Is it chrome? Is it a chrome pole, though?
Yeah.
Duh. Oh, yeah. See?
Yeah.
Once it's chrome, then the mind naturally wanders to other things.
Well, it's hysterical. I had some furniture delivered, and, you know, I'm so used to it. I've had it installed here for a while. It's extremely stable. And these guys delivered a wall unit for me. It was very heavy. I paid them extra because they ended up having to carry it up three flights of stairs because it wouldn't fit in the elevator. Yeah, but it was funny. One of them, they were laughing their heads off about it, and because, you know, it's hysterical. And then one of them, after they delivered this thing, does this like spin on it and like lands in a like a lunge type of split sort of thing. And I was like, hey, I was going to tip you anyway, but awesome. And turns out I was like, all right, so what's the deal? You've either watched a lot of that or you've got some kind of gymnastics background. And his buddy, he owned up for me. He's like, yeah, this guy's been doing gymnastics his whole life. And so it's just like, you know, wiry 50-year-old dude, just, you know, I'm like, you know, hey, don't let me hold you back, you know.
Nicely done, yeah.
Have fun. You know, it was funny. And then I was like, well, I guess I did a pretty good job installing that. He weighs a lot more than me and just put a whole lot of torque on it.
Well, you know, vertical poles are hard to find these days.
Yes.
That's one of the few things, areas of the bodyweight train that I don't practice on a regular basis is things like, you know, the flags and the clutch flags. Mm-hmm. Largely because, like, the gym I work at, we don't have a vertical surface anywhere in the gym. And there's only one playground I found that has a vertical pole on it, and it's a bit of a ways away from where I live. So if you've got one of those, man, you got everything you need. That's awesome.
Well, and I bought it because for that exact same reason as what you're describing. I am lucky that we have a lot of, I'm near like a kind of a popular shopping area outdoor, and there's a lot of like parking permit poles and things like that around. But, you know, a lot of this stuff, you've got to just put in the time and, you know, I would sneak out there at like weird hours of the night just because I didn't want to hear it from people, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you just gotta just work with this until you figure out where you fit in it, and I didn't want to hear anything. So I was like, you know what? How much are these dumb things? Send me one. And and it ended up being a very good decision. I mean, for me, because, you know, I go around and I help teach the PCCs, and I needed to really kind of nail that down and be serious about it. So, you know, if you do happen to get one, this is from X-Poll, and I recommend it. It's
X-Poll.
Yeah. I've put it through quite the abuse. I even took a couple of pole classes just for the heck of it. And, I feel pretty silly doing that stuff, but, you know, it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to kind of enjoy yourself, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if your mind isn't thinking like, oh, this is kind of neat. Oh, what do I got to figure this out here. How do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're just going through the motions. And
right.
So much of training is, you know, as Yogi Berra said, 80% of the game is half mental. So, you know, if you're doing something, anything at all, and your brain is thinking to itself, like, okay, I got to kind of figure this out, that's most of the game right there, is doing that sort of thing. And, yeah, that's awesome.
So what are you working on right now? Like, what's your biggest challenge of a move?
Oh, boy. Right now, I'm still focusing on the big six of convict conditioning.
Excellent.
I have a program that's kind of based off of the Veterano program in convict conditioning. So I'm working on the big six with one of the moves as a primary move each day of the week.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm currently involved in a challenge with a fellow trainer at the gym of who can do 10 consecutive muscle-ups first. So the bet is the first person to get video proof of doing 10 consecutive muscle-ups, the loser has to do 100 clap push-ups in front of the winner. So that's kind of the thing I'm working on now.
Yeah, that's serious business you got yourself into.
Oh, I'm not going down on this one. The thing is, I think he's kind of given up. I haven't seen him working the muscle-ups in a couple of weeks, but I'm currently sitting at 7. I've gotten 7 so far, so I'm in spinning distance.
Oh, well, maybe he's working on his clapping push-ups.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny. Yeah, the Veterano is a really good program. I mean, for people that have, I mean, obviously you've put in a lot of time, you have a lot of experience, and so it's a very appropriate program for you. And you know, it is a good idea to kind of work on one item as a primary, but then you have all the others too. I've been kind of I do like 2 full body workouts each week. There are a little bit more high intensity interval training based, and then the rest of it is, you know, very focused strength, either maximal strength or kind of strength power type of moves. I joke around that a lot of my training is like, oh, what are you training for, football? I've never played football in my life. I barely understand it at all. I'm sorry, everyone, to admit that. But I do like the way that they train. And, you know, I think it's a dynamic way to train that can really benefit anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I've been at some of these workshops with, have you been to any of Zach Evanesh's workshops?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely. The I did his level 1 underground cert shortly before I discovered the body weight thing. So I did that, gosh, probably about 8 years ago.
Oh wow. And
loved the sandbag training from it.
Yeah.
Went home and I think I confused my partner Nikki, and I was like, I need to get a lot of duffel bags. Like, why? I'm like, duffel bags and pea gravel. I need a lot of pea gravel.
Oh, that's funny.
That was actually, not to go too much on a tangent here, but that was actually the start of me building my own fitness equipment. I've been building my own stuff for years. In fact, it's kind of a running joke now, because my previous life, before I was a coach and a trainer, I actually worked at a fitness equipment store where we sold treadmills and things. And I didn't use anything we sold. Everything that I used came from materials from like the Home Depot and climbing stores and, you know, online warehouses and things like that. But that's what started that off. So I did that, and I did the level 2 cert through Zach a couple of years ago as well. And he's been a huge, huge kind of guiding light in a lot of things I've done, because the man is just so real. He's so authentic, and he's, you know, in the fitness industry, it's very easy to kind of lose your way of like, what's true to you? What do you feel is the best thing for you? And he's always been 100% open and very honest about his aspect of it. So I've emulated him for many, many years. And anybody listening, if you ever consider it, definitely take advantage of his certifications.
Big time.
It's very, very opening, enlightening, just because you get in that environment with those kinds of people and you realize there's a lot, not so much a lot to learn, but there is a whole nother level that is available to you if you want it. And it's very motivating, very inspiring.
Totally. Well, Zach is just so inspiring. And, you know, that book, Encyclopedia of Underground Strength and Conditioning, I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if you're ever stumped on what to do, either for yourself or for a small group or a team or something, check out that book. It is what I love about Zach. Not only is he so motivating, but he's so creative. It's like, you know, put him out in a field with a stump and he's got a whole workout, you know? And it's great for you, you know, lone wolf exercisers out there, as well as, you know, fitness trainers on a budget or looking to just not drive around with a bunch of stuff rolling around in your car. You know? Yeah, the reason I said stump, I was in Rhode Island visiting a friend of mine. We went out to this park. It was really cool. They had climbing ropes there, like for adults. Yeah, it was so cool. They had monkey bars. They had traveling rings, which I'm now totally hooked on. I've got a number of videos online of trying traveling rings at different locations. But then to reach the traveling rings, if you're somebody short like me, they thankfully had these pieces of wood. They were stumps, like cross-section of a stump that you could drag over there and use to reach the rings and get, you know, momentum to start. And I picked up the stump and I was like, hey, this is a pretty good weight. And did almost like a sandbag type workout with it. I was like, Zercher carried it, shouldered, over the head press on either side, and, you know, kind of put together this whole thing. I'm like, hey, Zach would have done this. It's like, there's a rock. Okay, we have equipment. Let's go.
we're good. Well, I guess that's another point to really make on the whole lone wolf kind of workout is once you get a few basic techniques under your belt and tool and ideas, you know, just keep your environment in mind, because every environment has resources that you can use to work out. And a lot of people, they just don't know it exists, that it's just not even there. So, you know, Google, get on YouTube, you know, look for, you know, people working out in the woods, working out in the city and urban areas, get some basic bodyweight skills under your belt and so on. And then you're going to have like your radar set up to, okay, I'm on vacation in this hotel. What's around here that I can use? Because a lot of times people have their mind shifted, on the other side, where their mindset is, there's nothing here. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the equipment. I don't have the resources that I need. And of course, I would be standing there going, "What are you talking about? It's all over the place." But you need your shift of mindset and the radar set to think, "Okay, there's a hill. I can use that. Oh, there's stairs, like you were mentioning earlier. I got that." There's a rail over there. Oh, hey, let's, there's a school over there. So maybe where there's a school, there's a playground, and where there's a playground, there's places to do pull-up bars. You know, there's tons of resources everywhere, and they're free. They're free, just waiting to be used. You just gotta keep your radar to see them.
Totally. Well, it's like, they put in some bike racks around here and I looked at, and I'm like, huh, dip stations.
Bingo.
Like, oh, that was nice of them to put a little gym station in there for me. And the important thing, though, is to get those foundational skills, too. Like, once you have those, once you're squatting correctly and safely, you know, and moving correctly, that opens up a real world, too. Because, one, you're not going to hurt yourself at that point, and that can give you the courage to be creative. I feel like a lot of times people's creativity gets shut down by fear of injury, which, you know, isn't really a bad thing. But at the same time, you know, you want to be able to meet those challenges, especially as, you know, some of us approach 40. So, you know, how it is.
No, I think we just have to have the possibility mindset. When you do the lone wolf thing, you're constantly being bombarded with ideas of you can't do this on your own and you don't know what you're doing and you don't know, or you can't motivate yourself to do things. And you have to believe that, well, sure you can. Why not? And a little information goes a long way. It's amazing. You don't need to be a PhD in exercise science to start a push-up routine, to start with body training. You know, mm-hmm. just get Convict conditioning. You know, mm-hmm. underground strength training encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. Possibly, you know, mental muscle. That's another one.
Oh yeah.
But you know, get a few books. You know, it's not. You think what's a membership for a gym for a year going to cost you? Right. You get a few books. Read them, mm-hmm. keep them out on your coffee table so you can constantly refer back to them. And you read just those books, you'll know more than 90% of the people who just buy a gym membership and just say, okay, mm-hmm. I'm just going to lift stuff and mm-hmm. make my heart rate go up. You'll know more and have better power with just those books than any gym equipment that you'll ever buy.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. And, you know, it's like there's a lot of people out there who like to make this stuff more complicated than it is. And mm-hmm. I found a lot of times it's like, oh, you know, wait a minute. You just like saying the science words, buddy. And,
yeah.
you know, wait a second. Do you know what that means?
Hmm, right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it's like. Oh, I know. Well, I've fallen into that trap too. You know, you want to sound smart. You want to sound like you know what you're talking about, and you want to have some good information. But
right.
you know, the thing I think we really need to keep in mind about this whole fitness thing is our bodies evolve. The cellular adaptation that we have, the ability to change how our bodies look, feel, and function. Mm-hmm. This all evolved long before we knew anything about this stuff.
Right.
Like it's all happened on autopilot. So mm-hmm. there are people out there right now who are losing weight mm-hmm. and they wouldn't know a polysaccharide from an amino acid.
Right.
You know, and there are people who, you know, like when I got in my first ever job was washing cars and I built up a lot of shoulder strength that summer. Because it was all manual. There was no brushes or anything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what the three heads of the deltoid were or their insertion points. I'm just washing cars.
Right.
So to a degree, no, you don't have to know everything that is going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know the programming language here on this Skype program, but that doesn't mean I can't use it.
Right.
And get benefit from it. So mm-hmm. all you need is a little bit of knowledge to get started, and away you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Totally, totally. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I had a new client start, and very smart person, but we're working on his movement patterns and just kind of, hey, you know, sometimes if you just do one thing for your life or you've never really been super active, it's like, hey, no, that bends. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of it. I told him, look, you know, I can see there's a lot of strength here, but we're just kind of, we're plugging in the wires, you know, just letting your nerves know, hey, you know, you can do this.
Yep.
And, you know, just gradually, of course. And
sure.
I remember when I first started Tai Chi, this was really strange. This was around, it would have been the year 2000. A lot of the movements were like just, you know, larger gestures than I had been used to making. And, you know, I can be fairly reserved on some occasions, and I think that had something to do with it. But, you know, finding like, hey, there's this whole movement vocabulary out there that is available to the human body. And discovering mm-hmm. that is really a lot of fun.
So. Oh, and I like that word you used there, the discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the biggest things that holds us back is just kind of quote unquote knowing and being sure of what we can do and how we do it.
Right.
Because that's ultimately what especially the bodyweight training has taught me is like, this is how you use your body better.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you learn to operate at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll post YouTube videos or something about the way I'm doing something or the technique I'm using. And I'll get comments back from people saying, this isn't right. Like the body isn't supposed to do this.
Huh.
Or people aren't built. A lot of people aren't built to be able to do this sort of thing. And I know where they're coming from because there was a time when I would have said exactly the same thing.
Right.
But when we're so sure about what we can and can't do, we limit our potential to grow.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm always saying, it's like the certain mind is the one without possibility.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So when, you know, we start a squat session, or if we're getting down on the floor for push-ups or something, and mm-hmm. our mind has a little bit, just a little bit of uncertainty of like, I'm not entirely sure what's going on. We leave that door open to discover, right, as you were saying. And when we discover things like, oh, if I tighten this muscle more, then this happens. Or if I shift my weight a little bit more over here, then I get this sensation. And then we keep learning. And holy smokes, the doors are wide open for a lot of progress at that point.
Oh, yeah. And also lets us know that we can, you know, try new things. You know, like the traveling rings have been a great example for me. I'd never tried them before. I'd heard from some people that I greatly respect that they were difficult, and these people had expressed that they weren't entirely sure that I could do it, which of course meant that I really needed to try.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah. So, you know, it's like knowing where you are and, you know, having some strength and kind of, you know, having some confidence in your own abilities, you know, and if it had felt unsafe, I would have not done it. But I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. You know, I've done the requisite things for being able to do this. I can hang from one hand for a really long time. I do two-hand bar hangs all the time. You know, I do it until my fingers fall off, which right now is about 1 minute and 45 seconds.
Ooh, impressive.
Yeah. I'm like,
that's good.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't have a lot of feeling in the ends of my fingers after that, which is a little worrying, but you know, so I don't do it every day because I have to type, but, you know, that's, you know, just doing that kind of training is like, you know what? I can hang on to this thing as long as I need to, which, you know, there's a cool confidence that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And, the flip side, and what I love to help people out of when they let me or when they're ready, is you have these people, well, okay, you teach them how to do something. Oh, I know how to do that. I know. And I was like, well, okay, crap, I got to figure out the nice way to tell you that you're not doing it the way that you say you know you're doing it. You know?
Right.
And it's like, well, you know what? If you know everything, why are you so miserable?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't want to tell you that. You need to discover that on your own. But, you know, if that's kind of, if you're always saying, I know, but yet you're not where you want to be, or not aimed at where you want to be, or working toward where you want to be, then it might be time to maybe re-examine some of those things you know.
No. Yeah.
Or add to them, or, you know,
right.
Just or sometimes it takes hearing it stated a different way. You know, one of the things I love about training people one-on-one or in small groups is, you know, finding these words that, you know, oh, that makes the light bulb go on. And
yeah,
you know, that they're different for everybody. There's no real standard cue, they're mm-hmm. standard ideas, and sometimes they're what works ends up being really funny. And I've bonded with clients over these cues that become inside jokes, and or, you know, from some offhand comment they've said that I've turned into a cue, and then boom, it works. And then we have this, you know, it's great for business on a weird level, and it also, you know, kind of helps our communication from, you know, trainer to trainee. And I don't know, it's kind of a fun thing. So, like, there's really no one way, you know. Al's always saying that,
right? And yeah, and that's, I think, a big takeaway for your training is there are lots of avenues. There's not just one straight path that you have to walk. There are tons of ways you can do this. And like you were saying, one of the things that I try and discourage people from saying when I train them is, like, if I correct them or I move something, I'm like, oh, I've been doing it wrong all these years. I'm like, well, it's not so much like you've been doing it wrong. It's just there's always another level.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, don't think of so much right or wrong. It's just, this is where I'm at, and this is how I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to figure out, what do I do to get to the next level?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a big part that discourages that discovery and holding so fast onto thinking we're doing something a certain way, and that's the right way to do it, is if we've discovered something that brought us to another level, it's like, well, I don't want to hear something that I've done something wrong.
Right.
You know, it's hard for the ego to take.
Yeah.
And that's always what I've encouraged for myself and clients is it's not right or wrong. It's just that's the way you do it. And as long as there's no pain resulting, you know, a wrong way could be argued the way that hurts. Mm-hmm. But as long as you don't have pain, then okay, now let's take it to the next level. And as long as you acknowledge that there's always a next level, you'll continue to grow.
Totally. You know, and one of the ways that I've been able to figure out, you know, all right, maybe I'm not doing this the best possible way for me right now is if I get stuck. And, you know, if I'm stuck there for a while, then it's like, all right, it's time to reexamine this and see if there's maybe a better way for me at this point. And just, you know, keeping open to that mentally. I think really the only problems happen is if, one, you get hurt. I mean, you don't want to do anything that's unsafe.
Right.
But then again, you know, there's a lot of strange information out there on the internet, even from very credible sounding sources that, you know, is saying certain things are unsafe that are actually, you know what, it's just fine. Like, I have a giant tire that I flip here, and I've got these three neighbors that they see me do it. They're like, you're going to hurt your back. And I'm like, well, not the way I'm doing this, but
yeah, no,
I'm fine. Like you fine. Might,
yeah.
Actually, I don't recommend that you try this because we haven't trained you up to this point, you know, but it's just kind of funny. It's like, no, I'm going to do this another good 50 times before I go inside, but thank you for your concern.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for thinking of me. I appreciate that. Now go home.
Yep.
Nothing to see here. Nope. Anyway, well, I have just had a blast catching up with you, Matt. We need to hang out online.
It's always so good to catch up and to chat. Because I mean, I see at the certifications and stuff, but they're too few and far between.
Yes, yes, they are.
Yep.
Very much. So, for people who want to get more information from Matt, go to what is it? RedDeltaProject.com.
Yep, reddeltaproject.com. And if you search Red Delta Project on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook, you'll find all the related stuff on those platforms as well.
Excellent. And Matt's just got an amazing amount of stuff out there. I was staggered the other day. I was looking through. I've been trying to kind of bump up my YouTube presence. And I'm like, hey, who of my friends is really rocking YouTube? Boom, Matt. Oh, my gosh. How long have you been out there? I mean, I don't want to keep going for too long, but I was just kind of curious. How long have you been putting videos on YouTube?
Oh, quite a while. Probably a better part of about 10 years now or so.
Wow.
You know, like I said, I went to that conference and everybody's got those little flip cameras, you know, back before cell phones had cameras and, you know, literally drove home from the conference and went right to Best Buy and be like, I got to do this. This is so cool.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Well, yeah, definitely go take advantage of all these resources that Matt's put out there for free. It's staggering. It's a staggering amount of information. And if you are in his neighborhood, see about training with him. Are you doing private clients or groups or...
Yeah. Yep, I work at the Denver, the downtown, or the Colorado Athletic Club in downtown Denver.
Excellent.
And it's the one in the Tabor Center. There's like a couple of them down there. And I do private training there. Anybody who asks me questions, of course, just shoot me an email. I always try and respond within a day or so.
Awesome.
And, you know, if anybody listening to this, if you're in the Denver area, I'm always looking for people to just work out with in local playgrounds during the summer and hanging out with. So, you know, don't be shy. Reach out to me. Awesome. I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being a guest, and hopefully we'll have you back again soon.
And, sure thing, Adrian. It was a lot of fun. I'll have you. We'll get you on some of the podcasts I do, too. We'll switch it around.
Excellent. That sounds like a lot of fun. Great.
Yeah.
All right.